How do you define strength?
It's Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Well, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We have lots of things to talk about. Listen, I don't feel like you're, until I get a response, I don't feel like you're paying attention yet. So I'm going to say it one more time. August is the time we have to start replanting our garden. It's the time to start getting ready for fall. It's the time to start thinking about kale and collards and mustards and turnips and fava beans and radishes. Oh my goodness, how did I forget about radishes? You need these seeds. You got to start thinking about broccoli right now. You got to start thinking about cauliflower. It's the time of year. You got to start thinking about kohlrabi. I know I left out some stuff. Swiss chard, beets. This is the time. This is a big, huge planting season. September is probably the biggest planting season of all. But for a lot of those plants, you got to get the seeds ready now. You got to get them started. If you're not interested in vegetables, marigolds, sweet williams, nasturtiums, petunias, what am I missing? There's a bunch more. Pansies. Man, there's a ton of things that you can be growing to plant for fall and winter along the Gulf Coast. But you got to start thinking about them now. Petunias. Snapdragons. Not too, it's about, you know, you can start snapdragons from seeds, and this is about the time to do it. So feel free to call me and let's talk about it, what you should be doing, how to do it. It's really critical that we begin thinking about this right now. A lot of responses to our talk about Ahi, A-J-I, and it's a type of pepper, and it can refer to, it's basically, you know, I'm going to think of it as a Central American, South American word that refers to the species of peppers grown in those areas, and it can refer to either a chinense or to a bacatum pepper, not the annuums that we're used to, but because that's what grows on the grocery store shelves, or the annuums, but that's not the peppers that do well for us. It's the ahis, and we've been talking about them. A-J-I, a word that we are going to have to learn to say, I'm afraid. Maybe once we all are growing ahis, then we can come up with other words that we like saying better. But if you're going to find the peppers that work well for you, you have to understand that Mobile is a Caribbean city. And Alabama is a Gulf Coast city, and we have more in common with what happens around the Gulf and the Caribbean than we do with what happens farther north. So we might have to learn words like ahi if we're going to do better with our peppers. There you go. Jim, that was funny. No clanging dishes in the background. Not in the studio this morning, by the way. I am remote this morning, I will confess. Hey, give us a call this morning. Before I get to the callers, Josh has sent me pictures, and he sent me pictures last week, and I didn't get to it. He sent me a picture of a worm that is on the leaves of his squash. And I don't see it. It doesn't look like a major problem. I occasionally see those on my squash too. And they're basically, I think they're just a type of cabbage looper. Cabbage looper have a pretty broad appetite. They don't do as well on squash as they do on cabbage and broccoli and other members of that family, but they will attack squash. Not going to do a terrible job. The easy way to deal with all of those is with a BT spray, Bacillus thuringiensis. The Dipel or Thuricide are the trade names. Dipel or Thuricide. Now, let me tell you, no spray is going to work on big worms. For those big worms, just you can see them. Don't go to Walmart once you see them. Take a, you know, get your fingers and throw them off and stomp on them. I mean, nothing's better than that. Nothing will work as well as that. And no chemical, no matter how harsh, is going to get those as well as the bottom of your shoe. Get pliers if you don't like it. Take those off and then use the BT for the smaller worms that are just beginning to hatch out, the dipel or thuricide. One way to do it. Dan, I also want to comment. Dan sent me a picture. This is very, very interesting because it was on the news about how hot it was in Arizona. Well, Dan sent me a picture of two weather forecasts where they had the feels-like temperature as well as the real temperature. In Mobile, the real temperature was listed as 89 degrees, and it felt like 101. That's what the weather report said. In Flagstaff, it was 102 degrees, but it felt like 96 degrees. You see what happens with humidity? It changes the way we perceive temperature. So those 105 degree readings in Phoenix, yeah, they're pretty hot, but it's a question as to whether it's really hotter than it is in Mobile. Josh said he sprayed the BT on, but the rains washed everything away. Yeah, so you do have to, it is, timing is important. And this is a good week coming up to spray BT because you're not going to get as much rain this coming week, Josh. It looks like you got some damage. Looks like there may be some other issues besides those caterpillars, but use the BT this week. It'll make a big difference. It'll make a big difference. Now I'm going to try to get to some of the callers that I've no callers. We missed. We had some that we missed. That's too bad. So we got some cabbage loopers here on, what is that? That's a fall army worm, looks like. So this was 3 weeks ago. It's possible that I have not seen worms get that bad on squash, but BT would be the way to handle it. There are a lot of things that can go wrong with squash. Believe me, I know. Are you sure that squash bugs aren't a problem too? You might check for squash bugs. You might see the caterpillars, but squash bugs might be under there as well. So we'll check on that. Let's talk just a little bit more while we've got some time about what's coming up and how to plant it, because this is something we're really gonna have to pay attention to as we move into September, which is the great planting season. And one of the things is marigolds, for example. If you planted marigolds back in April and May, I didn't mean to laugh. But if you planted them in April and May when they're going to be for sale at the big box stores, they're going to bloom for about 4 weeks, and then the heat and the rain are going to just knock them down. And chances are you think, God, marigolds, they don't do that well here. But marigolds do very well here if you plant them for fall. That's the season for marigolds here along the Gulf Coast. The same is true for nasturtiums. The same is true for petunias. The same is true for zinnias. The same is true for a host of other plants that are considered warm weather plants, but they actually do better when it's drier and when the nights are cooler. Something we have to think about. Something we have to think about very carefully along the Gulf Coast. It's time to plant those now and get them ready. It's so much fun to have those. It's not even too late to do Tithonias. There are some plants that you can't, and I'll tell you, you can call me and we can talk about it. There's some flowers that is not good to plant for fall because they're daylight sensitive. We can talk about which ones those are, but so many of them, it's really, really a great time to do it. And so we got a lot of callers. We're going to come back after this break, and we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about green beans and whether we can replant green beans. We're going to talk about kitties, blackberry canes, bushes, and planting. And lots of other things when we come back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Josh, you know, that's the worst I've ever seen. I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever seen cabbage loopers that bad, and I'm pretty sure it's a looper. It looks like a looper. You know how they'll make those little loops. Josh, if they're not making loops, you give me a call and tell me, and we'll try to figure out what else they might be. But it looks like a looper. First time I've ever seen them that bad on squash, I'll have to say. But they do get on squash occasionally. There's so many other problems with squash, including squash bugs and squash vine borers, that I just never noticed the loopers, because everything else gets to the squash first. But the BT will work. It works very well, but not on the big ones. And so sometimes you need to go through, if you've missed the early hatch out, you'll need to go through and pick off some of the big ones, because they're just, I mean, you just can't control those big ones with conventional pesticides. You have to use super pesticides on the big ones. And the superest pesticide I know, the one pesticide that works really, really well on big loopers and big armyworms is the bottom of your shoe. It's a super pesticide. It's like, you know, it's great. It's great. Josh says they are looping, so there it is. John in Irvington asked, he said he started his IHE seeds in Miracle-Gro potting soil. Is that the reason they didn't start? No. So there, it depends on where you got the seeds. So it looks like, I'm not sure. The IHE mango should have. Sometimes the seed's not as fresh as it should be. One of the things that we've started doing with a lot of pepper seeds, because some of the pepper seeds aren't as fresh as they should be, is starting them in potassium nitrate. If you've got potassium nitrate, it's called saltpeter. And it's a little trick taught me by some expert pepper growers. If you soak them overnight in a dilute solution of potassium nitrate saltpeter, it tends to make the peppers sprout much more easily. And you'll still need warm conditions. You'll still need warm conditions, John. That's very important, having warm conditions. If they don't have, if the soil isn't warm, if you try to start them early in the year and the soil isn't warm enough, they're not going to do. This is a great time of year, by the way, to try again with those IHE seeds. And it's not a bad time to start IHE peppers. Keep them in pots through the winter and then plant them out next year. You'll get super early peppers. We can talk about how to do that. There you go. Let's try to get to some of these callers. Who's first? Was it Kitty? Kitty, I'm listening. What's up?
Good morning. Let me turn your phone. I had you on the radio while I was waiting. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm so excited. I'm making a new bed for blackberry canes, and I wanted to know where to buy them, when to buy them. I think maybe now. And what is the best soil prep other than just mulching.
Yeah, I would say there's probably no better time to plant blackberries than, say, September. And it would be a perfect time, September, October, if you can find the plants. There are a lot of places that sell those on the internet. I don't know which ones do best because I haven't sampled them all.
Okay.
But I think they all do pretty well, reasonably well, for a year or two. And the question is, which one is going to do better long-term? Which one is going to survive diseases long-term?
It doesn't have to be too long-term. I'm 82.
Well, yeah, but you plant them this fall, and I just pick the ones that sound good and try them. But you can certainly look in catalogs. There's a lot of places that sell blackberry starts, and they will most of them ship in fall. This is a perfect time for planting. I think Just Fruits and Exotics sells blackberries, and that's a great place to look. Start with Just Fruits and Exotics. Just Fruits.
Just Exotics?
Just Fruits and Exotics. That's the name of the nursery.
Okay.
It's kind of a catchy name, except no one can ever remember it.
Well, you don't know what to connect it to.
That's right. Just Fruits
and Exotics. Well, I'm
exotics.
Writing it down.
Yeah, and go on the internet, look them up, justfruitsandexotics.com, and see if they don't sell some blackberries. If they don't, check with some of the other nurseries. There's a lot of nurseries in the Southeast. Isons, I think, may sell blackberry plants. Check with Fairhope Seed and Feeds, Old Time Seed and Feed, and see if they have.
I will.
Since you're right over
also,
there, September's
a great
time
to plant. Now, I had a question: does a marigold attract a butterfly?
It does. It does. Now, the fanciest, frou-frou-iest ones don't attract as many butterflies as the ones that have the open center where you can still see.
Sure, sure.
Like they're more like sunflowers in right. That you can see those center disk flowers in the middle.
They open and it, flatter.
Yeah, that's right. And so, yeah. So Tashkent is a great one that I'm growing that I just love. And Harlequin does really well. And Queen Sophia has a pretty open centers too. And I've seen lots of things coming to that. Zinnias really attract the butterflies,
yes,
I'll have to admit.
I think zinnias did because I used those. But I want to I remember when I first moved to town, the flow of monarch butterflies through here was phenomenal. And I planted some wildflower seed mix. A flower came up, and the monarchs love it. And I saved seeds, and this year I have a huge crop. So I want to start a monarch butterfly club and give everybody seeds. Just takes open sun, lots of sun.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing that monarchs don't have. And I've been trying to think about how to quantify this. It's, you know, we don't have a refuge for sunlight anymore. Any place that has sunlight is a parking lot or
right.
Is a golf course-like environment that's completely sterile or
like
a rooftop.
6 feet or more tall. Mine have not bloomed yet. They don't start until it's time for the butterflies. It's remarkable, so...
Do you know what
you
they
can
are?
You plant them almost anywhere that gets some sun. Maybe
what are they?
Midday sun, even.
What are they, Kitty?
I don't know.
That ain't helping.
It's not a normal wildflower here. It's about, 2.5-3 inch diameter orange, very orange. Petal, single petal around a center like a zinnia or a sunflower.
Yeah, like,
or
so that's
and they
the.
Come up and they bloom all over, sort of.
Yeah, it's a yellow composite. So maybe it's a sunflower. Maybe it's a type of native sunflower.
Well,
that's
anyway,
interesting.
I love it. And I've given some out. And I have no clue except that this year in my garden I had only one that grew last year, and I let it stay on the vine forever. And this year, in the middle of the beans, there came these vicious-looking leaves coming up tall, and I realized that's what it was. It had reseeded. So all you need to do to prep the soil maybe is rake it a little.
Kitty, would you send me a pic? Have you ever sent me a picture before? Can you send me a picture of this thing?
I sent you a picture of a sunflower that grew up in my garden, one that had 27 heads on it.
That's right. That's right. So send me a picture of this thing so we can figure out what
okay,
it is.
Okay. Right now, it is sort of voluptuous looking. It has leaves all the way up and around, like stems that come out and have leaves, and all of those places will have flowers. And it's very dark green. It's sort of pointy shaped like a sycamore leaf, but it's rumply. It's unusual. It looks like it
good,
would
good.
Eat you.
Well, so send me a picture of it, and let's figure out what it is.
I'd love to name it.
All right, good.
Kitty, thank
it's
you
always
so much,
good to hear
Bill.
From you. You're welcome. Cecilia, are you still there? Can you talk, Cecilia?
I'm here. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you? So you want to know
great.
About replanting
beautiful
green
Sunday
beans.
Morning. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, we live in Spanish Fort. We have a medium-sized garden, and the green beans are prolific. And we have new buds on them, and we were wondering if we can replant these, and is now a good time to do it?
Well, it depends. You want a green bean variety that is going to, and I'm going to have to take a break here in just a minute, so I don't know if we're going to get the whole thing out. So you might have to hold over just over the break, but. You want a green bean variety. If you're going to plant it now, you want one that's going to produce fairly quickly. And there are a number of them out there. And I'm going to, over the break, I'm going to list those. I don't know what it is you planted the first time. Do you know?
Hello?
Yeah. Cecilia, we're going to have to hold. We're going to come back right after the break.
I'll
and
hold
ask
on.
You another question. Okay.
There is no sickness, toil, or danger.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Real quickly, Ronnie has sent me a picture of a beautiful lily blooming on the edge of the Mobile Tensaw Delta. That is a crinum lily. It's our native crinum, C-R-I-N-U-M, crinum americanum. You know, I don't know what you want to call it. You need to distinguish it from the Delta lily that blooms in spring. This is the summer blooming Delta lily. I think some people call it shoestring lily. There's probably other weird names for it that are important to the people who use the name. It's just that nobody else knows what they're talking about because we don't have a good common name for that plant. But it's a type of crinum lily, crinum americanum. It's our native, one of our two really beautiful white native lilies that bloom in the Delta. The Delta lily blooms earlier and is very different, and this one is blooms later. And some people, I think, call it shoestring lily, but that's what the books say, and books really don't do a very good job of reporting what people actually say sometimes. There we go. So let's get back to this question. Cecilia, you wanted to replant your green beans, is that right?
Yeah, we have multiple buds, and we wanted to replant and hopefully extend the season some.
Multiple buds? You mean,
yeah.
What do you mean by buds?
Blooms, buds.
Blooms.
Yes.
Well, and so the blooms are coming on now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it
good.
Just continues,
well, you're,
and so we wanted to take out some of it that's dying back and replant those. Is that possible?
I see. Yeah. So first off, it's really great that you have some buds, and there's a good possibility that those buds will get pollinated and that you'll have some beans into September. Do you know what kind of bean you planted?
It's like the tubular, like I guess that's the pole bean, a little tubular type green bean.
Did it have a name on the seed?
I think it's just a pole bean.
Yeah. Well, you could certainly try to replant and see what happens. When did you plant this one?
These were planted in April, and they bloomed and they grew. The leaves grew very quickly, and the blooms came on, and we were starting to see beans within, I'd say, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, good. Well, go ahead. Give that one a try again. Plant it again, and if you've got the seeds. But you need to plant it now. I don't think you would want to delay a whole lot more. And plant those seeds now so that you can get a crop later on in the year. One of the problems with planting beans later in the year and is that you get something, you get the Mexican bean beetle. And it will roll up those leaves, and you can, it's not impossible to deal with it, but they are a little bit more of a problem later in the year. So you'll just have to watch for those bean beetles. They'll turn the edges of the leaves. If you start seeing the edges of those leaves flipped in a funny way, you'll see that, ooh, there's a bean beetle under there. There's a bean beetle larvae. So you just have to watch a little more carefully with those Mexican bean beetles when you see those.
Okay. That's good. We'll give it a try. We've got nothing to lose, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. Seeds don't cost you much. That's right.
Yep. That's true. Okay. Well, thank you for the advice. Thanks for
all right. Good to hear from
letting
you.
Me know this.
All right. Hey, Andre, you've been pretty patient. Tell me, you had some questions about bananas. Andre, we missed you. Hey, Andre, so listen, let me tell you about banana varieties. The one that I have had the most consistent success with in terms of producing bananas year after year after year, there are two. Probably my favorite one generally is Rajapuri, Rajapuri. It's an Indian banana. Whether its real name is Rajapuri, I don't know. But that's what it's sold as here in the U.S., Rajapuri. R-A-J-A, Rajapuri, P-U-R-I. The other one is called Orinoco, and it's named for that river in South America, the Orinoco River. Great river. It would be one of the world's biggest except for the Amazon. The Orinoco, O-R-I-N-O-C-O, did I get all the vowels in the right places? Orinoco is another great banana that's been really popular here for a long time. It may be even more versatile in some ways than Rajapuri. You can cook those bananas. I think they're really good cooked. It's almost like a weird halfway between a banana and a plantain. It's odd that way. But it makes very good plantains, cooked. It's not a true plantain, I don't think. In fact, it doesn't seem to be. But the bananas are good cooked, but they're also really good fresh. So Orinoco and Rajapuri. Rajapuri will probably produce more quickly and more consistently than Orinoco. Orinoco is a bigger plant. Those are the two I recommend. There are some others out there, but they are less reliable. So start, if that's what you want to start with Rajapuri or Orinoco. I hope that helped. Vanna, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, the gentleman that called in earlier wanting to know about a screen between he and his neighbor, I understand. But anyway, I looked up the bamboo, but I'm thinking more on this other plant that you mentioned, leucothoe. Am I saying
it? Yeah.
Agarista, but it's the one that has the white, fragrant flowers, shiny leaves, grows 8 to 12 feet, and it's evergreen.
Yeah, Agarista. Right.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're looking at, is Agarista?
Yes, and it gave another name, L-E-U-C-O-T-H-O-E.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Is that the common name is harder to pronounce than the Latin name. So the common name is Leucothoe. That's how most people pronounce it. It used to be in that genus, and
well,
never mind.
Well, it sounds great. It's evergreen, 8 to 12 feet, tolerates shade. Do you think they might have one growing at Mobile Botanical Gardens?
They have lots of them growing at Mobile Botanical Gardens.
Really?
And,
yeah.
And they're
plant?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm over there.
And you can see, and, you know, I don't know how well they're pruned right now. It, depending on how you prune them, they'll have a different effect. These are very old. Most of them at the botanical gardens are very old. And they're probably been there 30, 40 years, maybe longer. And they began to lose, if you don't prune some of the bigger branches over 40 years, you end up with something that looks like a small tree with many trunks.
These are not going to be here 40 years. I'm probably
not going to be here
40 years, but, you know, between 1 and 5, I think, sure.
Yeah, so it'd be great. And they do very well. They're great plants. I love them. And I love the fragrance. You just make sure you water them really well to get them established. Once they're like blueberries in that they're a little finicky to get established. But once they get established, they do really well.
What about a source of ordering them that would be a good, safe, reliable source?
Yeah.
Maybe out of Florida or locally?
Yeah, you know, the trouble with ordering them is you're going to get a really small plant. I think the thing to do is to hope that the Mobile Botanical Gardens is going to get them in.
Okay.
And call the Botanical Gardens and tell them you want that, and then say, gosh, I hope you guys stay open. And then when you say that, give them a donation to make sure they do stay open, because
I will do that.
Yep, it's a bad situation if Mobile loses that.
Such a nice place. Well, thank you so much.
The Botanical Gardens, yeah. All right, Vanna. Thank you. And do I have another Vanna calling from Mobile? Tara. I see.
Well, Vanna's Phil got, okay. I mean, I like that name, too.
Yeah, no. Phil got stuck. Phil got stuck on
I just don't like Container Queen.
That's right.
But anyway, fool that I am, I'm going to try one more time. So please, every year I say I'm not going to do it again, but I've got the seeds and I want to know the little nasties that have disappointed me every year. I went ahead and got the seeds so that I would be ready, you know? And okay, you said it's so hot now. I mean, these are cold weather loving plants.
Yeah,
every
so
year,
just start them. They don't.
Too long.
They
so,
don't need.
Is the middle of August good, or can I plant them now?
It's a great time, and let's talk about it. They don't need sunlight for the seeds to germinate, so put them in a cool place, right? And keep them moist.
I don't have a cool place.
Well, you have a place that's.
Is about as close as I can get, but I've got magnolias that have bloomed under there all summer.
What is your house temperature, Tara?
The house temperature, currently it's probably about 81.
That's
it's
fine.
80,
that's perfect.
80 and a half.
That's fine. They'll love that temperature. So, so start them inside. There's no reason not to start them inside. And keep them moist. They don't need that's a perfect temperature to start them. Abrade the seed with a fingernail file just a little bit,
right?
To let so that they can imbibe the water better. Okay? And that'll help you.
Soak them how long?
Huh?
Soak them how long?
You know, I don't. If you file them and keep the soil moist, you shouldn't need to. You shouldn't need to soak them.
Okay. All right. One more time.
Make sure your seeds reasonably fresh.
And thank you for not calling me a container queen.
All right, there. All right, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, all right, what do they call this? Lightning round? Yeah, we got just a little bit of time left. I want to try to answer some questions. Somebody sent me some pictures of a hibiscus coming up from what they called a swamp hibiscus, which is looks like hibiscus coccineus, and which itself may be a hybrid. Sometimes they are. But the seedlings don't look like the parents. They don't have those finely divided leaves, the five palmate leaves, the five-fingered leaves like the parents. That's okay. Seedlings often don't look like their parents. Likelihood is it is going to look a lot like its parents. It's not a guarantee that it will not be, that will not have some hybrid in its background if you got it from a nursery, because they've kind of gotten shifted around a little bit. It's funny. We have a Tower of Babel when it comes to common names. And just a perfect case is this white lily that blooms in the Delta right now. And it's a crinum. Alicia sent me a picture and she of a lily that is blooming. And she said, this crinum some people call swamp lily. Well, Alicia, the problem is that the lily you sent a picture of is not a crinum at all. It's not even in the same genus as the crinum that's blooming now. It's actually a Hymenocallis. Hymenocallis. It is a Hymenocallis. I call it Delta lily. It's the name we give to it in the Delta because it seems to be stuck in the Delta. But, you know, that's probably not a great name either. It needs a better name, Nimbus lily or something. But you see how those, you see how it has that little ring of tissue in between those long rays that stick out? It's peculiar, really. But that's Hymenocallis, and that's where our common names break down. They don't really tell us a lot about where we are. And what we have, I wish we could do a better job with our common names. I try to make them up sometimes since we don't really have good common names for most things, but you know, it doesn't work and people have to take it up. Someone sent me a picture and I need to do a better job of centipede grass. I'm going to say that the reason I think there is a conspiracy between house builders and the people who sell products for lawns, because they always plant centipede grass, which is the worst grass you could possibly grow. I mean, it is susceptible to every disease. You can put everything on it and you're still going to have problems with centipede grass. I don't mean to suggest there's a perfect grass out there. Please do not take this as a suggestion that there's a great grass that doesn't cause problems. But if you want problems, you plant centipede on the Gulf Coast. It's susceptible to nematodes, Pythium, Phytophthora. It's just going to have problems. Your St. Augustine grass is also going to have problems, but as you see, it doesn't have the same problems that your centipede does. I think a lot of those bare patches are probably the result not of foliar diseases, but of something going on in the soil, probably nematodes, which you're not going to really be able to fix easily. But call me back next week if you want to do that. So we do have a couple of callers calling back. Andre, I'm
How
listening.
You doing?
So, good. Bill? We got the. Did you hear me talk about the bananas?
Yeah. No, I missed it, Bill, because I was my phone went out. Anyway, what variety of banana grows best here to make bananas? And the other question would be, what wood would you use for raised beds in a garden for edible vegetables?
Well, so the first one is, let me go back again. There are two varieties. Rajapuri. Might want to turn your radio down just a little bit so we don't get feedback.
Okay.
Rajapuri, Rajapuri. Rajapuri. The other one is Orinoco, like the river in South America, Orinoco. They're both very good. I would start out with Rajapuri and add an Orinoco, and they're really great. Rajapuri, you get bananas most years, even without a lot of effort. But we'll talk about what you need to do. It'll probably take, if you could plant it now and it would be fine, and you might get bananas. You might get bananas next year, but it'll probably be the next year before you get bananas. But from then on, you should get them every year if you play it right. Let me talk about the good wood for raised beds. The good wood for raised beds is don't use wood on beds. You don't need wood. If you're raising your beds more than 1 foot, you're making a huge mistake. And anything less than a foot, the soil's going to stay in place. It won't run away. The wood is either going to rot or it's going to contribute. You just don't need the wood. I will say that most treated wood that's being produced nowadays is probably not that toxic. But you don't need wood to line your beds. It doesn't really do anything. It just makes trouble. How's that?
So what would you use for a raised bed?
I wouldn't use anything. You never want to raise a bed more than 1 foot high.
Okay.
If you do, you're
making... What it does is I want to do this at the beach, and I don't want to use the soil in the ground because there's runoff from the street.
If you raise it more than 1 foot high, you're going to create huge problems.
Okay.
Just put a deep layer of mulch on that sand. Call me back next week, and let's talk about how to do that, because we're going to run out of time. You don't need to line those beds, though. It'll just create problems for you. Trust me.
Thank you.
Call me back next week, and let's talk specifically about how to do that.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Good to hear from you. Hey, Julius, I'm listening. Boy, we don't have a lot of time, but let's and you sound like you got a lot of questions, but let's try to get to a few of them.
Yeah. Well, you don't get a phone number out. That's what I'm waiting for.
Sorry. We need to do that
real
better.
Real quick, I got a yard that has a lot of shade, and when it rains, it tends to hold water. I was hoping to plant. I got a lot of fruit trees. I was hoping to plant some of the grape variety, you know, bullets, scorpionine, something like that. I want to know, would that be a good idea? And would you please talk about hydrangeas, my favorite plant? And I had never heard you mention them.
Oh, Julius, you don't listen enough. I talk about hydrangeas.
Well,
a lot.
I will in the future, because I've been listening for last couple of hours, and I enjoyed your program immensely. I love it.
Good.
And thank you very much. So, I'll get off the air and listen to you.
Yeah, Julius. And you don't have to get off the air. Just listen for a second, and you might have to come back. First off, let me say I'm so glad to hear you use the word bullace. It does my heart good to hear you say the word bullace. It's a good old Southern word. It lets me know that you've been around the South for a long time. It's an old word for the purple muscadines. Great old word. Listen, it's a word my dad uses. Julie, we're going to run out of time. You only need about 6 inches of additional soil in order to plant things in wet ground. And to do that, you can use pine bark. And we're going to have to come back and talk a little bit more about that, because I only have like 15 seconds now. But next week, call me back. Let's talk a little bit about how to deal with a wet yard. And I'd love to talk more about it. And we'll talk all you want to talk about hydrangeas. Just give me a call back next week.
Magnificent show. keep the good work up.
Thank you, sir.